The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see? Pick up the mirror now, America. Go ahead, pick it up. What are you, afraid? It's just a mirror, America. What could it do to you except reflect your image? The Majority Report.
It is Tuesday, December 28th, 2010. This is the Majority Report. My name is Sam Cedar. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, metaphorical shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. It is, we're only a couple of days from the new year. Welcome, folks. I hope you had a pleasant Christmas, and apparently it snowed. Apparently it snowed in some places. And I hope maybe some of you are still stuck with your in-laws or your relatives. Maybe it's difficult for you. Maybe you should have left on Christmas Day like I did. I flew out on Christmas Day. It was a significantly more pleasant flight than it was flying out there. I don't know if you've ever flown Spirit Airlines, but I think they dropped the adjective in front of the spirit because I think it's like bad spirit. It's not. I've never, ever been around people working at a place who were more angry. It was bizarre, but be that as it may, I had a wonderful trip to see my in-laws. Unfortunately, it had to be cut short, but fortunately I did so because last night I subbed on Countdown with for Keith Olbermann. I subbed for him. I'm going to be doing the same tonight. I will be doing the same tomorrow night. We will also have a show, Majority Report show tomorrow. These are going to be brief shows. You know, if this was radio right now, we wouldn't even be here. We would be doing best of shows. But now because I work for you people, not for the man, I'm giving you extra bonus shows. And I want to thank all of our Majority Report members at this time of year. I want to thank you at every time of year, frankly. But if I did it every time I wanted to thank you, it would become annoying. So I appreciate those of you who have joined and are supporting the show in an active manner. Those who have sent us emails, of course, you can join at majority.fm. The more members we have, the better the show will be. I know there will become a time where adding more members will not make the show significantly better, but we're not at that point. We're still at the point where, more shows are going to allow us to purchase technology, to have rights to music, so we can actually integrate music a little bit more, particularly into the podcast version of the show. I have a whole list of things. I'm going to get a speech therapist. I'm going to take voice lessons. We're going to buy Dorsey a razor. And Evan, you too, actually.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe get you guys both haircuts. We're going to shape up around here. Maybe we'll have an intern. We'll be able to start putting out some extra features. Maybe we'll have guests on a regular basis. There's just a lot of things to juggle. As we get more members, the show will improve. There will become a point where we'll be adding more members and the show will not measurably improve. It will have achieved a level in which improvement is almost impossible. It will be near perfect. And all that new members will do will be to enrich me, allow me to upgrade to a larger Hummer limo than the one that I take around the city right now. But we are so far from that time that I will tell you when we've hit that juncture. We've got a while, ways to go. And I also want to take this time to thank JustCoffee.coop, both for the coffee and for the sponsorship. And if you go to JustCoffee.coop, you can get 10% off by putting in the coupon code MAJORITY, and you can get great coffee. Josh Orton, former Majority Report producer, who was actually supposed to be here today. He was actually supposed to be in the room. But apparently he's still sleeping on my couch. he's staying with me, but he said to me yesterday, he's like, "This is good coffee. Honestly, where'd you get this coffee?" I said, "It's just coffee. Do you not listen to my show?" all he does is IMs me, harassing IMs. It's like he doesn't listen to the show. But he commented on how good the coffee was. Now, Josh came with me last night to the countdown, and I thought I did better this time. It was a tough situation because a lot of producers couldn't come in. And there's also not a lot of news right now because, you know, other than the weather. And we did a weather segment because you sort of have to. And I know that really the only person I think who was genuinely happy with that weather segment was my grandmother, who was just shocked. But growing up, that was the only conversations I had with my grandmother. She lived in Boston. We lived all of 40 miles away, and every conversation was about the weather, the differences in weather between Boston and Worcester, or the lack of differences between weather, or the impending changes in weather in Boston that were about to happen if the weather had just hit Worcester, because it takes another hour, I guess, until the weather hits Boston. But I thought I did better, although during the show, I at one point I thought, am I going to have a heart attack? It was like a little bit two-thirds way through the show, I started having incredible indigestion, which I didn't recognize as indigestion until after the show. And it was because it was coming up. Anyways, I got very gassy, and it turned out Josh also had gas problems later. And I think it was because there was a pizza there. I don't know. Maybe I ate the pizza too much. I'm not sure exactly what happened. I thought it went well. We're going to do it again tonight, and we'll be doing it again tomorrow. And we have a new feature today that I'm going to introduce. And this is compliments of my brother-in-law, who gave me an incredibly thoughtful gift. He, you know, some time ago, I think it was last year, actually, around the holidays, he goes to school, or used to go to school in Kentucky. And I said, "Have you ever been to the Creation Museum?" He's like, "No, what's that?" And I told him. Because the Creation Museum is located I think it's Western Kentucky, right near Cincinnati. Now, you'll excuse me, folks, because I'm going to be burping because I'm trying to drink soda water. So I may burp during this because I'm trying to get this out of my system. And I'm experiencing the same thing right now as I did last night. It's like this sense of like, wait a second, something's rising in my chest. Oh, my God. Is my arm numb? No, it's not. So don't panic. But I actually did have a moment last night. I was like, God, this is going to get on Mediaite if I have a heart attack on.
Some dude dies on MSNBC. Right.
I saw some guy Twitter like, "Sam Cedar looks like the guy I picked on in high school who was always picking his nose with a pocket protector." Guilty. Guilty. So my brother-in-law gave me a book. That I don't know if he actually got it at the museum or he bought it in the locale of the museum. A Journey Through the Creation Museum. Prepare to believe. And I'm going to read a little portion of that book today. It's entitled, this is, I don't know if it's they do it by chapter. It's just called Starting Points. I'll read a little couple of passages from Starting Points to show you how, I mean, the images here are just shocking. Because if you've ever been to the Natural History Museum, it looks very much like that, although almost in some respects nicer. It looks like a museum. With it's just beautifully done and horrifically wrong on everything. And remember, the goal of the Creation Museum is to attack the worldview that has spawned natural history museums. In other words, science. In other words, any human knowledge that has been developed by man. And what they're trying to do here is not to say that you should have a Christian worldview, or that, hey, we're Christians, we believe this. It's actually far more insidious. What they're trying to do is basically say, you know, there is no objective reality. There is no such thing as science, really, is what they're saying here. There is no such thing as science. Yes, you can measure how much water is in your glass, because you can take that and put it into a measuring cup. And that's science to them. There is no other, science cannot function in any other way. And so what they're basically saying is, like, there are two viewpoints about reality and about the history of the planet and, I guess, presumably history of all species and whatnot. And they're equally valid, not just in terms of, they're not different. Other than, you know, two apples are different. They're the same type of, they're equally valid perspectives and equally scientific in some respects, perspectives, to the extent that scientific means something to them. They're both measurable in some fashion or have the same ability to be measured. So with that said, let me do a little reading here. And we'll start with same facts, but different views. Why? And they're talking about the Starting Points room. Ultimately, to understand the origin of life in the universe, there are only two possible places to start. A, the word of the one who has always been there and knows everything, in parens the creator God of the Bible, or B, autonomous human reason, man's beliefs. Based on these two starting points, there are different interpretations of the same evidence. The different starting points explain why the different views about origins are in conflict, because there are two totally different worldviews. Turn the page, picture of a dinosaur. Different interpretations. The evolutionary scientist, in quotes, sees millions of years. The creation scientist, in quotes, sees thousands of years. See? Same, same. One's a creation scientist, the other's a evolutionary scientist. Yes, two different interpretations because of two different starting points, as demonstrated on the chart. Next page at right. So there's a chart. One column starting with human reason. Other column starting with God's word. The Uthraptor, this is a type of dinosaur, lived in early Cretaceous world about 125 million years ago. But in the starting with God's word, the Uthraptor lived in the pre-flood world about 4,300 years ago. On the starting with human reason, it evolved through millions of years of change. The starting with God's word, God made the beasts of the earth, Genesis 1-5. Human reason. Caught in a flooding river. Died in the normal course of events. Caught in the great flood. And the Lord said, I will destroy man and beast, for I repent that I have made them. See, you know, God's got the advantage here because he wrote this shit down. Dried out on a riverbank, dried out in the sun, floated on floodwaters, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, Genesis 7:21. Slowly buried by river sediments, slowly buried and gradually fossilized, suddenly buried in the global flood. The world that was then being overflowed with water perished. 2 Peter 3:6. Exposed in the present, revealed by millions of years of erosion. Exposed in the present, speak to the earth and it shall teach you. Job 12:8. And then they have pictures of like wax figures scraping off these fossils that idiots think come from millions of years ago. So there is your moment in the journey through the Creation Museum. We'll do this particularly today and tomorrow, and on days when, you know, there's just not a lot of news, or I haven't slept well. I got up this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning with intense gas and could not fall back to sleep. So I'm tired. I didn't have a chance to get any guests either. We got to talk about that, Evan. There's a guest list, you know. Why did you give that look of like, what?
I assume that you were referring to my pile of post-it notes, but it seems like there's something more solidified.
Right, the thing that's actually that Google document.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. And just to give you some feedback from last night's show, I got a couple emails responding to the email blast I sent out saying you can watch me host on MSNBC. Sorry, I'm a Keith Olbermann fan. You know what's funny is remember the other day I said that all caps is a sign of crazy people sending emails. And then I realized, like, I capitalize almost all the words in the email blasts I send out. So let me revise that in personal emails. All caps. Sorry, I'm a Keith Olbermann fan. Don't care to watch you. Don't know you.
Jesus Christ.
Well, presumably she knew Keith Olbermann before he was on TV.
Oh, I see.
I don't know if that's true. I don't even know how she got on my email list.
That's harsh.
It's an opt-in email list. And then I got another email. Gee, I don't know, Sam. Ever since I heard you on Air America debunk, attempt to debunk, the 9/11 truth movement by, quote, if the buildings were brought down by explosives, why would they have been hit by planes? I've wondered how bright you are. That is actually one of the things that I've consistently said. I don't understand why you would have to go through the trouble of the planes as a ruse if you were just going to blow up the buildings. Because... You know, yes, they put in a van at the basement of the... But, you know, back in 93. But it seems like you could have tried to blow up the buildings again just by blowing up the buildings. He says, to recap my original objection to this reasoning, suppose the buildings had been brought down by explosives without being hit by planes. Okay, what would we have seen on CNN the next day? Interviews with terrorism experts, but also interviews with building demolition experts and security experts trying to figure out how these explosives could have been planted in a heavily placed policed building. Well, didn't we see the same thing with, like, how did these people get on airplanes and take over these airplanes? And they were on watch lists.
Right, everybody just shrugged and said, well, we didn't do a good job.
Right. How is it that NORAD didn't get... there's always going to be questions. And if the media and this is why, you know, I mean, I get accused of being a gatekeeper. I mean, presumably, I'm not the... If I was to open the gate, I got news for you, folks. You know what would happen? Nothing. There's no gate I'm keeping. And presumably CNN would deal with it. But I don't know. I don't know. I suspect that if the buildings had been brought down by explosives without being hit by planes, we would be even more terrified. We would be even more terrified at the skill and the abilities of these terrorists. And I suspect that more people would have left New York, frankly. Because to imagine that planes are going to fly into a tall building again is a harder thing to accept than the idea that people could plant bombs in buildings. Now, do I have questions about 9/11? Yes. The one thing that I'm fairly confident about is that those planes were not a ruse. I think the planes were real, and I think they were flown into the buildings, and I think that the buildings dropped because of those planes. But be that as it may, I don't think that person watched me on Countdown. for the rest, was very, very positive. Very positive responses. Okay, let's get to let's take a little break here for 20 seconds and 30 seconds, and we will be back. Oh, congratulations! 50 million are uninsured, according to Kaiser. Hopefully, the healthcare plan reform will change that. If, of course, it isn't completely destroyed by the incoming Republican House. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this. Okay, we are back. I will be taking your IMs a little bit earlier today, probably in about 20 minutes. So get on your IM machines. You can IM me at Majority FM. Majority FM is the IM. And, of course, you can also listen to the show on Stitcher. You've been listening on Stitcher? Every day? Want to say that again?
Every day?
Every day on Stitcher. I'm starting to listen to more podcasts.
I've been listening to some of the conservative podcasts on there.
Oh, really?
Kind of funny. Like the lower tiered ones, the ones at the very, very bottom, you know?
Yeah.
Like Corey and the Captain or something like that. I don't know. There's like a couple that are just ridiculous. They don't even talk about politics. It's all about like bank robberies and then all this stuff about, I don't know.
Well, how do you know they're conservative?
Because it's under the conservative column.
Ah, interesting.
Maybe they're just misplaced or something, but it was bizarre. There was barely any politics. A couple of the podcasts. I mean,
they don't even need to do politics anymore. They've got so many people doing politics now. They just go on to like you know a conservative worldview on everything else.
They like this bank robber, or he was a casino robber, some guy that robbed a casino on a motorcycle. They thought it was so cool, but then they were like, they realized what they were saying, and they were trying to like backtrack. It was really kind of funny, you know, being conservatives. approving of criminals.
See, that's the advantage that conservative talkers have. I mean, this is what, you know, people ask me, like, why is conservatives, the talk shows more popular than liberal ones? And I think it's because there's two reasons. One, you have different audiences. Conservative audience, they constantly need their worldview reinforced. And they need to justify themselves in a different way. They need to have a reinforcement that, yeah, you know, it's okay for you to, any encroachment on your worldview. Like, you know, for instance, it's very difficult. There's a reason why there's, you know, people are less religious today en masse than they have been in the past. And that is because as science and ideas spread, it begins to undercut the underpinnings of religion and fundamentalism. And when you start to do that, you start to have doubt. You know, if you're a fundamentalist, one of the advantages of being a fundamentalist, when you wake up in the morning, most of your questions that you will have to deal with are already answered in the course of a day. You know, if you're a an Orthodox Jew, you know, your questions are answered for the most part. Your days are almost already scheduled. You know, any type of questions you're faced with are there's a ready-made answer for you to prescribe to. And so once you make that first decision, I'm going to subscribe to this dogma or this doctrine, and I shall not, in any veering away from that doctrine, makes me a bad person, things become a little bit easier. You know, what are we going to do Friday night? Well, I know what we're going to do. We're going to do the same thing we did for last Friday night, and that is going to be we're going to observe the Shabbat. And or, you know, what am I going to do on Sunday? Well, we're going to go to church. And we've got our whole, but it goes down to just even your daily questions. Can I have this food or that food? No. It's already answered. And when other ideas begin to infect your world, you need some type of antibody. And that's what conservative talk is. And then the other advantage it has, you know, liberals simply, they seemingly have a broader worldview. And, you know, liberals, I think for the most part, the reason why liberals tend to be good government types, who are looking for effective government, or who are at the end of the day most interested in government that is fully representative of a democratically, it's because there is a genuine belief that things will work out ultimately if the system's not corrupted, and B, they have other things to do. They just, like, you know, by almost by definition, if you're a liberal, that means that you are constantly more curious about the world and are welcoming more ideas, which means you have less time to focus on this Masada mentality of politics. And then the other advantage that conservatives have is that they're lunatics. And sane people like to watch lunatics because they're interesting. You don't see crazy people on the streets of New York sitting at a bench staring at people who are not crazy. They're involved in their own thing, but there's plenty of times you're walking around New York City going like, oh, my God, look at that dude. What is he doing? And that's why, you know, it is – that's why a good chunk of, you know, liberal talk ends up being, look at what Glenn Beck's doing. Now, I think – you know, we don't do that so much on this show just because that's the way it's worked out. I mean, I would on occasion, but there seems now – I certainly thought it was important when we were on Air America because, frankly, for too long, liberals had gone through life not realizing what was being said on Rush Limbaugh's program. You know, what a vast majority of conservatives actually believed, that Vince Foster was killed. He was killed in a park by Hillary Clinton with the dagger. And then they got the Secret Service to drag him into the travel office at the White House where he was chopped up into Christmas cards. You know, whatever it was, whatever their insane worldview was and continues to be. And so I think there is intermittent value in dipping in to seeing what the conservative worldview is so that liberals don't forget what they're dealing with. So that was a little bit of a tangent. Now, speaking of lunatics, there's this Elaine Donnelly, founder and president of the Center for Military Readiness. Now, I am sure, and maybe it's lazy of me, I just didn't have the opportunity to do this. But I mean, if you were to dig into this Center for Military Readiness, I am sure it is funded, or it's a division of, like, what was that? Concerned Women for America, or something like that, you know, or American Family Association. You know, one of these right-wing conservative more, because this woman's not concerned about military readiness. She's afraid of the gays. And I guess they checked into her. I assume everybody has seen this clip, but if they haven't, there's a great clip of some right-wing guy, you know, another schmuck, you know, trying to be James O'Keefe, the fake pimp guy, trying to go, you know, Barney Frank is one of those guys that they love to attack now. And it's not because he's gay.
I don't understand why they do that. He's so good. You'd think they'd pick somebody a little...
I'll tell you why.
Oh, okay.
Because he's gay.
Oh, yes.
That's why. There is no other reason. I mean, he's... I guess he's sort of got a funny Elmer Fudd type of voice. And he's smart. And he's a, you know, he can be at times, you're on your wire there. He can be at times a powerful advocate for the left. I don't know if I'm satisfied with some of the financial regulation, but be that as it may. And so he's a good target because he's gay. And if you ever listen to Limbaugh, it's a constant, if not explicit, reference to his being gay, or, you know, hi, Bernie Frank, you know, whatever it is. So he's gay, and the right wing, you know, they don't like gays. Or they don't like, it's the sin. It's the sin that's wrong. I love gay people. I don't know why I'm doing a Southern accent now. I don't know why I'm doing a Southern gay accent. So let's play this clip. It's pretty funny, and I think it's what inspired Ryan Riley at TPM to go and talk to this Elaine Donnelly. All right, here's the clip. And I'm sorry, you can find this, I don't know, just Google. Here's a clip of it.
I have a question for you about the working group that Secretary Gates put into effect, he appointed, of the Defense Department working group. They recommended that a straight military personnel will have to shower with...
Stop it for 1 second. Now, what does that mean? Recommended that straight personnel will have to shower. This guy's an idiot, too, right? That's not... what language is this guy speaking? They said that they will have to shower with straight people. Barney Frank's, you know, his point here is incredibly obvious. I mean, it almost like you can't even repeat what this guy says without saying like what. But here, run it back and then play it again. We'll run it through.
Group that Secretary Gates put into effect, he appointed of the Defense Department working group. They recommended that a straight military personnel will have to shower with homosexual openly.
Showering with homosexual? What do you think happens in gyms all of America? What do you think happens in the House of Representatives? Of course people shower with homosexuals. What a silly issue. What do you think goes wrong when people shower with homosexuals? Do you think it's the spray makes it catching? I mean, people shower with homosexuals in college dormitories, in gyms where people play sports, in gyms elsewhere. It is a complete non-issue.
So that recommendation, you think, is a non-issue?
To accept the principle that homosexuals can't shower with other people is a degree of discrimination that goes far beyond this. I mean, We don't get ourselves dry cleaned. We tend to take showers when we go to the gym, when we play sports. The notion that there's somehow anything new in the first place about showering with homosexuals. Remember, under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, by the way, the policy was that you would be showering with homosexuals, you just weren't supposed to know which was which. So there was no change in that. The notion that knowing that someone is gay or lesbian, as opposed to knowing that there are gay or lesbian people there, but don't know who they are, if that somehow makes a difference, it's pretty silly.
So this guy's, you know, this is the latest concern here. And, of course, Barney Frank is perfectly right. I mean, gays and straight people have been showering together for a long time. And I guess presumably, I mean, it's sort of a fascinating question. Well, but I'm now aware that that person is gay and that they might want to have sex with me. It's a fascinating fear. And it really does belie, like, really, I mean, you've got to take the fear to the next step, which is the guy goes, and what if I want to have sex with that man? So this Elaine Donnelly has been asked by Talking Points Memo, what are your plans to fight? How are you going to fight Don't Ask, Don't Tell? She says, well, I'm not prepared to say yet. It's too soon to say because the new Congress has not come in. The options before the Congress have yet to be sorted out. One thing I will say, CMR will continue to support the troops, and our mission has always been to advocate high standards on a variety of issues. That will not change. There will be no lavender uniforms. I mean, I don't know what they think. The misunderstanding caused by Don't Ask, Don't Tell were exploited very skillfully by those who were trying to repeal the law. Well, but misunderstandings. But they never talked about what they were trying to do, which is to impose an agenda which is quite radical on the armed forces. It's not been a proud chapter in the history of the United States Senate. What is so radical about this? Every other military that we invade countries with, and even some that we don't, have gays in their military. What is radical about this proposition? There have been gays in the military as long as there has been a military. And I would imagine that in the early incarnations of our military, there was probably no, you don't get kicked out for being gay. I mean, you got to figure there was some gay guys fighting in the Revolutionary War. I don't think they got kicked out if they found out they were gay. Maybe about that. Maybe at that time they called it jolly. I don't know. She also said the repeal would impose a new gender order in the military. That, quote, means that others will have to get used to the idea of being exposed to people who may be sexually attracted to them. Wow. You're going to have to get used to that idea, man. What about the idea that you have to get used to the idea that someone's going to shoot you in the head? Someone wants to kill you. Or the idea that, like, you have to kill somebody. Well, that I can deal with. The idea that there could be someone sexually attracted to me? Whoa. I hope if they're sexually attracted to me, they want to kill me, because that I can deal with. I want to make it clear to all gay people that if you are attracted to me, shoot me. Because I am prepared for that. But don't try and ask me out on a date. Many groups are not eligible to serve in the armed forces. There is no constitutional right to serve in the armed forces. Do you know who's not allowed to serve in the armed forces. It's not many groups as far as I know. It's most felons.
Not even all felons.
Not all felons. Most felons. You know, you get it if you're convicted of like armed robbery or murder or rape, you can't serve. So, or undocumented immigrants, people who are not citizens. Even though some...
There are a bunch of laws that kind of allow circumvention of that now, but yeah.
So, according to this lady, gay people are either like non-citizens or criminals, violent criminals, felonious criminals. Hate the sin, not the sinner. There's nothing in the military's report on Don't Ask, Don't Tell that points to anything beneficial for the armed forces that would come from this repeal, other than the fact that all those translators and the 10, 20,000 people that you've trained and now know, you know, could come back into the military, other than the fact that obviously we need recruits, whatnot, et cetera, et cetera. Showers are a huge issue, Donnelly said. To pretend that throwing up a few shower curtains solves the problem is tantamount again to saying, well, women should share close quarters with men. We'll throw up a few shower curtains and that will take care of it. Well, A, there is reams of evidence of suggesting that women are increasingly likely to be raped in the military, that the military has no way of dealing with it, that because of physical differences, this rape takes place. Because of the culture of the military, these rapes takes place. They go underreported. I don't think that's going to be a problem if there's a rash of gay rapings. I just don't think that that's the same issue. And again, there's no change here. There's no actual change. It's simply an awareness. And she says, I don't know about the gyms where you go or most people go, but the gyms that I've seen have a sign inside the door. And the door says inside the women's locker room, no boys of any age are allowed. There's a reason for that. Knowingly, you don't expose yourself to someone who might be sexually attracted to you. Does it happen unknowingly? Sure. So that's the real issue, is that these guys who are perfectly comfortable with people shooting at them, perfectly comfortable shooting people, or relatively comfortable. The bottom line is they're more comfortable shooting, killing a human being, or being shot by a human being, than the idea that there could be a someone of the same sex sexually attracted to them. You know what I think? I think those people should be kicked out of the military because they're unstable. How's that? Coincidentally, Barney Frank suggests that we should be looking at cutting our support of and our involvement with NATO as we seek to cut military spending. See, I'm getting that thing again now, too, where it's like it's coming up. I think I'm going to burp, and it makes it hard for me to talk. Lawrence J. Korb, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, who has argued that the defense budget can be cut without harming military readiness, says we ought to rethink the whole idea of NATO. Apparently, 20% of the baseline defense budget, which is the defense line base budget, is about $530 billion a year. Now, of course, that doesn't include the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, which are about another $130 billion a year. NATO is about 20% of that baseline. $100 billion in spending each year. Now, of course, it's difficult to track these things because the money goes in so many different directions and whatnot. But so that would be good. That would be good as we start to cut all these social services and Social Security and redistribute the money upwards. It'd be nice to just maybe not have to have a so-called defense budget that equals, let's see, the combined expenditures of the next 17 countries. Countries like China and Great Britain and Russia and Israel and Pakistan and India. Tiny, tiny countries. France, Canada. Just shocking. Just shocking how the only things that can happen in this country are tax cuts and military spending. And which brings us to the Brian Beutler is reporting that the GOP has a couple of plans. You know, it really is amazing because you can see the difference in the way that the Democrats operate and the Republicans operate, and that's fairly obvious to everyone now. But you know, the Republicans already have this plan; they've had it set in place for months. This is what you get. Now, make no mistake why this happens, folks. This isn't because Republican politicians are smart. I got news for you. John Boehner is a freaking moron. He's a moron. And they would love to get rid of him. You know, that whole drinking thing and his affair that was reported before the election? That's just, you know, if not Eric Cantor, it's somebody else trying to get rid of him. Republicans are not any smarter than Democrats. They're all, I think, not terribly bright. And most of them are corrupted because of their staffs and their staff's agenda. They're all careerists looking to go into one industry or another that affects their decision-making and just who they are, I think, in a large respect. And but the other thing, the other way these ideas are created by Republican lawmakers is because there are hundreds of millions of dollars that people like the Koch brothers and the Skaths and the Waltons that are poured into think tanks like the Heritage Foundation, like Cato Institute, like AFP, FreedomWorks, whatever you want to call it. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And every imaginable conservative is hired to do different things. Some are to, you know, demonize Acorn, others to create ways of figuring out how to destroy the legislative process. And so the Republicans have figured out that there is a 1996 law called the Congressional Review Act. It provides Congress with an expedited process by which to evaluate executive branch regulations. Now, this is relevant because we're going to be talking about the death panel regulations that have come back up. Much of what people have praised the Obama administration for have been regulatory changes. A reinstatement of the regulatory regime that was crushed under Bush. Have they gone far enough? Probably not. Is it an uphill climb? Yes, because, you know, once you populate these regulations with, you know, people who are anti-regulation, and from industry, and once you have trained these regulators to be gun-shy, to know that they could get in trouble, it starts to affect the regulatory process. And so what Congress is going to do is they're going to keep sending up resolutions. These are non-binding resolutions resolutions of disapproval on any regulations that exist. And they may not pass the Senate, and they could be vetoed by the president, but it's going to be a constant barrage, which is A, going to jam up the system, and also B, signal to regulatory agencies that your next boss may want you to pull back on certain things. And when you work in a bureaucracy, you know, apply it to your own life. If you work in a corporate environment, any type of bureaucracy. You know, Evan's sitting here and he knows, okay, Sam likes pressure drop going into the show. But Dorsey, he doesn't like the clash. And Dorsey's like, he's on the mic a lot. And Sam's got this gas problem. He may not be here. And I don't want Dorsey to fire me, call me up in front of. So maybe I'll just, maybe I just won't do any clash. Or maybe I'll do it every other day. You know, that's the type of stuff that, you know, that's the way human beings work. And understand that Democrats could have done this under Bush. And apparently back in 2008, there was a couple attempts, but the Democrats couldn't get 30 members to sign on to these bills. They couldn't get enough people to co-sponsor it, to even to push these things forward. So the idea was there, but, you know, there's no discipline. The ideas don't permeate enough because there's no infrastructure. That's just the way it is. The House has new rules. We had the PAYGO, which was every program must be deficit neutral, and now there's the CUT-GO. You can cut taxes even though it creates a greater deficit in debt. But you cannot spend anything else that would create debt. So in other words, it's basically no new taxes, read our lips, less services, less programs, less stimulating the economy. That's the plan for the Republicans. And, you know, it brings up, you know, this whole filibuster question. Which, you know, maybe we'll have somebody on. I'm not so sanguine on this filibuster reform. I think there could be some real problems with it. Taking into consideration how inept the Democrats are. And frankly, you know, I think there is, the Republicans have of course abused the filibuster. I'm not convinced that they won't find another way to abuse it. And I'm not convinced that they won't get rid of it once they get into office. But it gets a little weedy, and I'm going to try and get a guest on to talk about it. Because this is, I frankly, I haven't heard many people articulate this view that this could be dangerous for the reasons that I think it could be dangerous. We can talk about it at another time. I'm going to take some IMs in just a minute at Cedar MVS, or why do I keep saying that? Sam Cedar Show or Majority FM? I think we spoke to, I don't know if we spoke to Glenn Greenwald about the, or I think I had talked about it, but the treatment that Private Manning, the man accused of leaking to WikiLeaks. Bradley Manning. It's becoming more and more widely reported that he's essentially being tortured. And there's less and less argument as to whether or not the conditions he's being held in, remember, without charge or conviction, are tantamount to torture. In fact, I haven't heard anyone argue that it's not torture. The only thing that I have heard is that the Pentagon denied that he was being kept under those conditions. But last week on the Dylan Radigan show, there was a guest host, Jonathan Capehart, I guess. I don't know who that is. They had on this guy, David House, an MIT software researcher, who apparently is friends with Manning or has befriended him in prison, has been visiting him. And he claims that Manning's description of his treatment is exactly as reported. That that the Pentagon is either lying or lying. The guy gets no exercise. When they give him exercise, let him walk only in figure eight in a room. And if he stops walking, they put him back into his isolation booth, essentially. It's gotten so bad that on Wednesday of last week, spokesman for Manfred Nowak, the UN's top anti-torture envoy, said he was looking into the complaint that Manning had been mistreated in custody and that his conditions amount to torture. The UN could ask the U.S. to stop any violations it finds. Now, of course, good luck with that. But that's a little disturbing. All right, folks. Well, I guess it's not too early. So we'll break now. We'll take some IMs at Majority FM. I will be back tomorrow. Check me out tonight on Countdown with Keith Olbermann. And we will talk to you soon. I've never seen a world so green. Here beside you. Ba 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 ba. This day is the perfect day. Nothing in our way. Our time. I know I'm holding in my arms. We are back. Keep it safe and warm. Wow. High risk pools are drawing fewer people and costing more than anticipated. I got to check that out. 50 million Americans now uninsured. A Tea Party congressman's wife, who has a pre-existing condition, is upset that he's forswearing his federal health care plan. Ladies, you got to be careful who you hitch your wagon to. That's hilarious. I wonder if she was upset when her husband was against other people getting health insurance, despite their pre-existing conditions. Jesus. I would like that relationship where I could, you know, say to my wife, like, I'm not, you're not getting health care. Principles stand my ass. Rusty Cola, hey Sam, how come we can't get sound through the video? The video live stream audio is out of sync by a few seconds. Well, audio's coming back in now. We're still working on stuff. Kyle is going to be here tomorrow, I think. Do you know that?
I knew he was thinking about it. I knew he was definitely.
I hope he awesome. Will. It would be
good to have.
Great to have him in. Let's see. Don't be a putz. Sam, you mentioned you did a weather segment last night. Just curious, was there any mention of global warming? Seems like a logical thing to talk about. Warmer air holds. Well, first of all, I did get into, you know, I don't have much control over what the thing is, but I did say, like, can we just mention that this is a function of the Arctic ice caps melting, et cetera, et cetera. And so when we went into the thing, I did have a line or two about it, and I think we may do a bigger piece on it tonight, which could be really fun.
Nice. Nice.
Collapse, Netflix. Directed by Chris Smith, American movie. Warning, though, it gets a little dark at the end. Might launch you into, but totally compelling. Did you run into Lionel at MSNBC? He was on the Ed Show with Cenk. Cenk seemed like someone forced him to do a segment with Lionel. Does he really just go by one name? Oh, no, I didn't know that. I did not run into Lionel. Wow. Well, I got news for you, folks. It's it can be slim pickings this time of year. Collapse. Netflix. Thank you. Don't pee a putz. Turn on your mic and you can tell me.
Oh, damn. Why always do that? I watched a frightening movie over the weekend. I watched one of those Alex Jones movies.
Oh, yeah? Which one?
Fall of the Republic. It's the new one.
Where do you see that?
People are uploading them to YouTube, full two-hour movies. It's crazy. I don't know. And they don't seem to be, like, partners.
Interesting.
It was funny because they were talking
about... You better
about
hurry because it's probably going to be taken down soon.
Well, the guy uploaded it three times.
To mirror them.
Right. Of course. Does Lionel really go by just one name? Yeah. Right?
Yeah, I've never... Like, Lipschitz, sometimes he uses that as a last name.
Oh, God. I really have a problem. I got to get some gas acts or something.
You don't have any more of that Pepto?
That Pepto-Bismol is not what that's for.
Sure it is.
No.
No.
That's like an antacid, isn't it?
Pepto.
It's like for the other kind of stomach problems.
Right. I use it for everything.
Well, you're just abusing it. Pepto-Bismol. Excuse me here. Let's see. Rise syndrome. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. If you're allergic to acetylates, wait a second. This is Pepto-Bismol is for nausea, heartburn, which I don't have, indigestion, no, upset stomach, diarrhea. I don't have any of that.
It sounded like indigestion to me, but I am not a doctor.
I think I have some type of just like gas that was created by, bad food again. And if Josh had it too, so it wasn't just me. Zantac. But that's heartburn, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's heartburn.
See, I'm not having any acid reflux. It's not like I'm getting any burning sensation. I'm getting almost like, just like burping and gas that's going both. Just like a quarter of baking soda and water. That'll take care of it. All right, I'll try that when I get home. I'm not going home. I can't do it.
How much baking soda?
I don't know. A quarter teaspoon or something? A quart?
Quart.
Do you think Obama will finally show us his backbone now that he'll be facing a Republican House and get more done? No. My concern with Obama is that it's not a question of backbone in the areas that I have a problem with what's happened, that it's really more a question of his belief. Now, I think Obama believes that people like Robert Rubin and Lawrence Summers and Gene Sperling and Tim Geithner and these masters of the universe are masters of the universe based upon merit, and that they know what they're talking about, and that they are right. And I think he listens to them more than he listens to the Joe Stiglitzes or the Krugman types. And as such, I don't think that there's much that he has done that has not been consistent with their worldview. So I don't think the problem is that he's a poor negotiator. I think the problem is that I don't like what he wants to do. And, I've had conversations and I'm coming around to this. Now, with all that said, I don't think that Hillary Clinton was any different. She may have been more of a fighter in some respects. I don't know that her agenda would have been significantly different. Some people have suggested that maybe it would have been, and that's why the forces that be supported Obama. I don't I don't see any evidence of that. These people are all Clintonites. These people first got into government with Bill Clinton. Now, it's possible Hillary Clinton could have had a completely different economic team. But there was no indication of that before the election. Hey, the bottom line is that we didn't have any candidates who were ever going to be as progressive as we wanted on economic issues. So I don't know that Obama is any worse or better than Hillary Clinton. I would imagine that if Hillary Clinton could have gotten health care reform, it probably would have looked like this in some respects. Because I think at the end of the day, you know, look, when we talked to Chris Hayes about this briefly, I think we touched on this health care reform and sort of the public option. Public option was not about its direct impact on health care. It would have affected a relatively small amount of people. And it wouldn't have even had a direct impact on private insurance insofar as it wouldn't have driven down rates in and of itself. It's the idea of a public option that it would function in some ways like a charter school is supposed to work, like an experiment. And if it worked, that would have been a problem. It would have been a slight wedge into maybe breaking off private insurance, but only a political one. And I don't know that Obama, it's fairly clear, or Clinton for that matter, was more interested in destroying the private health insurance industry than they were in creating a mechanism from which to get most people insured and to keep that insurance. I mean, that's an admirable goal, to get more people insured. The problem is that, from my perspective, is that we have a larger problem that is going to keep coming up in many different ways, and that is too much corporate control of different facets of our life and our policy-making apparatus. And when you have an industry like health insurance that can be more efficiently maintained by the government, and if you see one of the primary purposes of the government, in my estimation, is for the general welfare, and I think health is got to be very close to the top of that list. So, short answer is no. I just gave the long answer. What's going on now? Now is my thing frozen? Oh, there we go. Zach Punk, I suspect Orthodox Jews face all kinds of dilemmas and challenges they don't have the answers to. Well, you mean as opposed to the rest of us? I mean, look, it's a very... The fact is that one of the reasons why you sequester yourself when you're a fundamentalist is so that you do not come into contact with ideas that could create doubt. Let's see. Dede Fru, good on you for broaching the state's bankruptcy deal. Can't wait to see what my offensively ultra-conservative New Jersey fireman nephew thinks when his governor suggests something like this for real. Yeah, exactly. Bonaire, moron, of course. Dems couldn't get a hearing of anything on the House floor during the 208-209 sessions. If Senate just requires assets to stand up and do actual protesting and eliminates the secret hold, is all that's necessary. I do think there's political advantages to this transparency in terms of the filibuster. My stream is sucking big time. See you on Countdown later. Thank you, Daddy Fru. Harold, dude, I didn't know you were back this morning. Great job last night, by the way. Dradmanthes, you were great on Countdown last night. It was news to me that senators supporting filibuster reform has nothing to do with changing the vote limit. Something else new to me as the word birth fires. Oh, yeah. Birth fire means that I misread the teleprompter. And it should have been birthers and misfired. That was around the time when I was talking about that. That was the segment where I was like, I'm having a heart attack. I'm trying to read this thing. I screwed up a couple words there. Chesapeake 88. Hey, Sam, great job. I'm going to open my last night. Quit. Why do you always do the same songs for your breaks and such? Well, we're going to... we're going to get a license to use more songs, and we're going to start to structure the show a little bit differently. We're going to start to be able to, you know, focus a little bit more on content now that we've got like some of the sort of house cleaning things, initial house cleaning things out of the way. By the way, if you die from crazy gas, do we get a refund on our monthly membership dues? Yes. I have, in a secret safe, I have given Dorsey and Evan the code. In the event of my death, a letter will be sent out, and they will... it will refund you. Morella 622, just a little baking soda and water. That'll take care of it, Sam. Where am I going to get baking soda?
Dollar Lunch District.
Where?
Dollar Lunch District. Yes, baking soda to be had for cheap.
So you can get like a 30 cents helping of baking soda. Beano for farts. I'm not worried about the farts. Mylanta is used for gas relief. Also, Beano, but that's used before you eat. Mylanta. I don't mind, I don't want to get too graphic here, but I don't mind farting on air. It's the sort of the stuck, the half burp is a problem. Necrofamicon, do you really think the Democrats will be able to filibuster effectively when they're in the minority? There's no harm in filibuster reform because the Republicans use it on every vote, and the Democrats will never be able to keep 41 senators in line for long. I think you're correct. I think there are some instances, certainly in the past, when filibusters, Democrats have filibustered, but. Oh, gosh. Did you hear that one?
I didn't see it. I heard it.
Yeah,
it sounded good.
Yeah.
That one, like, came from, like, felt that in my, like, my leg. Well, the issue is this. And I need to do more research on this, but from what I understand, what you need to do to change the rules on day one... is essentially a finding that Senate rules can be changed without a two-thirds majority. If you set that precedent, my concern is that Republicans, I mean, this is the way I would describe it, right? Republicans do not do anything. Democratic behavior never mitigates Republican behavior. Republicans never say, you know, Democrats didn't abuse this. We're not going to abuse this. They have a certain capacity. Okay? The metaphor would be this. Imagine a horse that runs a race and jumps over. What are the horse jumps?
There's got to be a name for this.
Let's call them horse jumps.
Okay.
Republicans can jump 4 feet. Democrats can jump 2 feet. Okay? 2 feet high, 4 feet high. The destruction of the filibuster and any other rules of that effect is 5 feet. Okay? Is 5 feet high. Republicans have more capacity than Democrats to do political malfeasance or, you know, play political hardball. But they can only jump 4 feet. The Democrats, I believe, if they make this vote, or I'm concerned, you know, my concerns may be unfounded, that if they open this door, that you know, to do this minor tweak, they're actually lowering the threshold to do more damage to 4 feet. That's my concern. I don't think their behavior changes a Republican behavior one way or another. I think it just lowers the threshold in which it's easier for the Republicans to come in and do malfeasance. And I want to have a conversation with somebody to see if I can be dissuaded. Hey, Sam, can you get the MSNBC to air the KO show at 7 instead of 8? I want to watch the Eagles-Vikings game. I'll work on that. Sammy Camera 1, new membership swag, a Ziploc of Sam Gas.
The Ziploc will fit in the mailers, too.
Jobalus said Gas X. This show is really, really hitting its stride. Noble Baker. Hi, Sam. You were great on Countdown last night. My wife said you reminded her of John Hodgman when you were reading from the top prompter. I think she meant that as a good thing. You know, I auditioned for that Mac PC.
Really?
Yeah. Hodgman role.
Aren't you glad you didn't get it?
Yeah. Yeah, that would have sucked.
You're a little too stylish to be a PC, you know?
That completely ruined his career. God. He's got to fucking walk around with all that fucking money and that, like, hey. That totally destroyed his career. He could have gotten a regional Dunkin' Donuts if it wasn't for that. Kevin Semicolon, I think those horse jumps is what horse jumps are actually called. Oh.
Huh?
There you go.
Hey, I just want to throw this out here. Schuster's back.
He's not back.
He's not back on MSNBC, but he's back on Twitter. I mean, he's like returning
his contract has run out.
Oh, so he couldn't even tweet or anything?
I think not.
Wow.
I think he was afraid of being in violation of. I just saw a story on Huffington Post. He's back.
Hey, what's he doing?
Hasn't announced yet.
Good strategy.
Shanksoft, I am now frightened of stopping by tomorrow. Kyle is worried about coming in tomorrow.
It doesn't smell in here.
No, it's not. It doesn't. Bino is your friend. Don't be a putz. Zantac, speaking of 9/11 truthers, what about all the actual crimes that we know our government has committed at this point? Why harp on 9/11? Fran Lebowitz mentioned in your great interview with her, when our government gets caught now, nothing happens. Oh, yeah, I found the second part of that interview.
Oh, good.
I watched her documentary.
Was it good?
It was good. Some of it was okay. Some of it was good. But, I mean, I would love to have her on.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to watch that again, actually. MacMan, one. Do you think or hope Obama will... No, I already answered that one. Let's see. Let's go. Do you think MSNBC will ever cut Hardball down to 1 hour? I have no idea. I think you're right on the filibuster, mostly because of the blue-bod Democrats voting with the Republicans on things like Social Security. That's weird. Cy am minder. I am you. I don't know how to respond to that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap it up here because I need to deal with this gas and then go up to Countdown. We will be back tomorrow on this program. Folks, again, please, if you have the wherewithal to become a Majority Report member, please do. You can do so at majority.fm. It will help make this show better, and we'll keep this show around. And we'll certainly get you a mouse pad and many, many other potential benefit. Oh, a lot of people really love the Bush pardon videos. We get some very nice emails back from people who have done that. I'll send another email out, membership email out, before the end of the year or right at the beginning of the new year. Talk to you soon.
Breaks you. I guess somehow I lost the drive.